Well, we thank the Lord for His faithfulness to us. Thank the Lord for His dealings and Him talking to us. I'd like to share a little thought I believe the Lord put on our hearts in Ecclesiastes, the 5th chapter. I want to notice several points in this reading, Ecclesiastes 5, and I'd like to read verse 8. It said, "If thou seest the oppression of the poor and violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province, marvel not at the matter. For he that is higher than the highest regardeth, and there be higher than they." I'm thankful for this reminder, especially in our day and time, that God is higher than the highest, and there is a day of reckoning, there is accountability. He said, "Marvel not at the injustice and things that happened." Verse 9, I'd like to read, "Moreover, the profit of the earth is for all. The king himself is served by the field." Then it says, "He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof, saving the beholding of them with her eyes? The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much. But the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. There is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. But those riches perish by evil travail, and he begetteth the son, and there is nothing in his hand. As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor which he may carry away in his hand. And this also is a sore evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. And what profit hath he that hath labored for the wind? All his days also he eateth in darkness, and he hath much sorrow and wrath with his sickness. Behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor, that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion." Maybe we can stop there. I was just thinking about how that, you know, riches, material things of life, we need them, but they don't really satisfy. They don't really satisfy the inward man within themselves. He said, "He that loves silver is not satisfied." Doesn't matter how much he gets. It doesn't really quench the thirsting of his soul. Now, we live in a materialistic age, materialistic time, I believe. We probably have things nicer than, I don't know. We've got it nice. We've got things nice. And I don't believe God is against, you know, the nice, comfortable things that we have unless it begins to consume us. Unless it begins to keep us from the will of God. And You know, here he talked about enjoying the fruit of our labor. I believe the Lord God wants us to enjoy life, enjoy what He's given to us, to be satisfied. There's not a satisfaction that comes just from material things. But I believe when the Lord is there in our life, we do enjoy the things that He provides for us, the things that He's blessed us with. But He mentions in verse 16, He said, "What profit hath he that hath labored for the wind?" There's something about the wind, and I've been thinking about the elements a lot. You know, they're working against us. You know, God has provided this space for us to inhabit, to live. But it also is working against us. The sun gives life, but it beats down. I mean, it cracks your shingles. It wears things out. It fades your paint. The wind can wear you out. The wind is so, it can be so wearing. It's like it's, the elements are working against us. The change of the seasons. You know, pretty soon we'll succumb. They talked about, you know, David and the different people, they went the way of all the earth. At one point or another, we're going to succumb to the elements, to the things that's in our environment. That, you know, we get old. Things work against us. We've got to maintain and replenish in life. But he said, "What profiteth he that hath labored for the wind?" And I pray for me this morning. Pray. I believe God has a balance for every one of us. We've got to learn that balance. We want to learn the balance of, because if we get too caught up, then we miss the enjoy. He said, "Enjoy the good of all of our labor." If all we do is, seems like we're just laboring and laboring and laboring. We've got to be able to take time to enjoy the fruit of our labor. He wants us to enjoy it. And there's a balance, I think, and I don't think it's the same for every person, but we got to find that balance of how, where the Lord blesses my spiritual life and He blesses the work of my hands, the labor of my hands. If we get out of balance and if we're spending too much effort, it's like we're just laboring for the wind. You know, if we get out of sync with what God is wanting for our lives and what He wants us to do, it's like it's laboring for the wind. And you know, the wind I put tar paper down on my roof. Most of it's gone now. It's shredded. It's all over. I've been picking it up for several days now. Now I'm not going to worry about it until I'm going to put the metal down. But the wind just blows it. You know, that's what happens to our labor when we're out of balance. It's to the wind. There's no profit. There's no value. But if we put the Lord first, if we seek His will first and we're doing the things that He wants us to do, then it's not for the wind. It's for Him. It's for His cause. It's for His blessing. And I don't want to come down to the end of my life and feel like it was just for the wind. That the labor was just all for the elements to consume up. So I'd encourage us to make that a matter of prayer in our life. Lord, help us to find the balance. Help me to be balanced. Help me to be satisfied. Help me to abide in the place that You have for me. That song is, I wanted to, it's been 362. In the first verse it says, "Earth holds no treasure, but perish with using, however precious they be. Yet there's a country to which I am going. Heaven holds all to me." Earth holds no treasures, but they perish with using, however valuable, however precious they be. Yet there's something more. There's a country to which I am going. Heaven holds all to me. I was thinking about Jesus, you know, he said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where the elements aren't going to consume them. He said, where moth and rust doth not corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where the elements are not going to affect them. You know, the stock market, all those things, the elements are going to affect those. One place Scripture talks about riches make wings, and they can be gone just like that. But Lord, help us to make heavenly investments, to abide in that place where we're content and satisfied, and the Lord is blessing our labors, and it's a balance. It's a balance in our life where we're tending to what the things that are more important, the things that matter the most. We're tending to those with diligent care. Another verse is in John, the 6th chapter. Gospel of John, the 6th chapter, and the 26th verse. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." This lets me know that they were more concerned about the temporal things than they were the spiritual. He said, you're not seeking me because you saw the miracles, that you saw divine power, but because you ate and were filled. That lets me know that they had more interest in the earthly than they did the spiritual. Then he says to them, labor not for the meat that perishes, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Now, labor not, you know, the Lord wants us to labor. He's given us labor. He wants us to labor. He's given us things to work with. He's given us things to do. But I believe that's where the balance comes in. That we learn the balance that God wants us to learn in our lives. That we're not putting too much labor in the wrong, in the temporal side of life. Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. And I think about Jesus there. In one place he said, my meat was to do the will of him that sent me. That's what Jesus was really focused on. That's what he was concerned about, was doing and fulfilling the will of God for his life. And we want that to be our focus too, the will of God, doing what God has called us to do. Using our talents, using the gifts that God has given to us, not selfishly, but to be a blessing and a help to others. Not just for ourselves, but to be something of a help and assistance to other people. God has blessed us all with different talents and abilities. And I was thinking about, you know, sometimes we want to be happy, don't we? All of us want to be happy. You know, we want to live a happy life, but I think about sometimes we can get a little off track in our desire to be happy. And I'm thinking about, you know, when Jesus told the disciples about Him going to the cross, Peter immediately spoke up and said, "Far it be from thee." Jesus, the will of God was for Jesus to go to the cross. For God so loved the world that He gave His Son. It was the will of God for Him to suffer on the cross to pay the price for us. But Peter, in his humanity, we probably would have done the same thing. I think we have done the same thing. I know we have done the same thing. I know I have done the same thing. I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about me. I have done the same thing. Sometimes we don't recognize the beauty in the cross. We don't see in our human mind. We think, that's not going to make me happy. That path is not going to lead me to happiness. I don't want to go down that way. And our humanity sometimes, and I believe that's what Christian and Pilgrim's Progress, he saw a path that looked like it was, correct me if I'm wrong, that looked like it was easier traveling. The grass looked a little greener. It looked like it was heading the same direction. Maybe it was right on the other side of the fence. I don't know. It was close and it was going the same way. And he said, "Well, I'll just get over here. That's going the same direction." And that's how he ended up in Doubting Castle, under the control of Giant Despair. But it looked like it was a happier path. And that's what I'm saying. Sometimes we don't see the beauty, perhaps, in the cross. And I'll ask us this question. If we got everything we wanted, you heard the story of Midas, the golden touch? If we got everything we wanted, would that make us happy? Huh? We would be miserable. You know, children that grow up that just have everything they want, they're usually spoiled. They're usually, to put it mildly, kind of brattish. Disrespectful.
Irresponsible.
You know, life is interesting. There's something about, and yet, we want to be happy, don't we? And yet there's something that reaches out. But you know, there's spoils in the conflict. There's spoils in the battle. There's things that we get, you know, in our flesh. We don't just, you know, that song, "In the Heated Furnace, Father, Let Me Stay." That's a hard song to raise your hand on. "In the heated furnace, Father, let me stay. Precious gold refining, purge the dross away." I have a hard time lifting my hand on that song. Afraid the Lord might see that. But there's something about the conflict, the battles, The Lord doesn't overwhelm us. He doesn't. The Lord will help us through. But it's part of, I don't know, there's a richness to life in the cross, in the battle, in the spoils that can be gained. One place he talked about, he said, had I the choosing of my pathway in blindness, I would go astray. You know, the Lord doesn't give us everything we want. I'll just be frank. He doesn't grant every request in a positive way. Yeah, He does give us, He does answer our request. He gives us healings, He gives us help, He gives us blessings. But a lot of times He'll say no too. Sometimes the answer is not this one. You know, that's part of trusting in God, believing in Him. As a parent, as a wise parent, He knows what we can handle, what we can't handle, more than what I don't know what I need. I don't know. I just know there's a strong inclination in us to be happy in life, and we see things, and it's easy for us to pull back and to resist what the Lord wants to do, what the Lord wants to accomplish, because we fail to recognize the beauty that's in the cross, the beauty that's in the path that God has for us. Another scripture in Philippians, the third chapter. Philippians 3 and the 18th verse, for it says, for many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. And what that is saying to me is that they're too caught up with the earthly. They're overwhelmed with the earthly. For our conversation, or our manner of life, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. I want to close with a little story in C.W. Naylor's book, Heart Talks. I read this years ago and it impressed me. And it's called My Dream Message. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but he said, I dreamed that I stood beside a gigantic wild rosebush. In my hand, I held one of the beautiful, fragrant flowers. I looked at it and drank in its rich perfume. But I saw a great number of flowers, and I desired more than the one. So I held it in my left hand and began to reach up for the others. They were very high, so I pressed against the outer limbs and stretched to my utmost, but they were too high. I could not get them. I stepped back from the bush. As I did so, My gaze fell upon the rose in my hand just in time to see its petals fall to the ground. In stretching for those beyond my reach, I had ruined the one of that was already in my, already mine. I gazed upon the empty stem in my hand and at the bruised petals upon the ground with a feeling of regret. The scene changed. I sat at a desk with pencil and paper and in my dream wrote these words. If you have but one rose, enjoy it to the full. Do not let its perfume be wasted upon the empty air and its beauty go unnoticed. While you spend your time in vain, longing for the unattainable. When I awoke, I wrote down the words that I had written in my dream, and through the years they have preached to me many a sermon. How natural is it for us to forget what we have while we look at others whom we think to be more fortunate? Have you ever done that? We look at the blessings that others enjoy and forget to be thankful for our own. We look at others' possessions, and because they are greater than ours, we fail to appreciate what we have. Our position in life may be very humble, but however humble, our life is full of blessings if we but have eyes to see them. When I had this dream, my health was gone and I lay alone in my bed throughout the long hours of the day while my wife was away working for our support. My eyes were so I could read but a very little. We had two rooms in a house with another family. All around us were people with health and plenty. I could easily realize the difference between my situation and theirs. Sometimes I would look out of the window and see people passing, strong and vigorous and carefree. I would hear the gay laughter and the sound of happy voices while I lay suffering and alone. How easy it was to see their blessings. And in seeing theirs, how easy it was to forget my own. But this dream came upon the morning of my birthday. Special gift from the Lord, would you say? And as I lay there thinking it over, I determined that in the coming year, I would not let my one rose be spoiled because I was reaching for that which was beyond my reach. I decided to enjoy my own blessings. If others were more blessed than I, should I not rejoice in the fact? Longing to be like them would not make me so. If I had but little to enjoy, I would enjoy that little. So I began to look at my blessings, and as I looked them over, I found them greater than I had supposed. I had many things to give me comfort. I had food to satisfy my hunger. I had a home and clothing. I had the loving care of a faithful wife. I had kind friends who gave to me freely of their sympathy and who were ready to grant my every wish so far as it lay in their power. Better than all else, I had the peace of God in my heart. I began to realize that my state might be far worse. The more I thought, the more I saw for which to be thankful. The more I considered my blessings, the more I appreciated them. And many a time since have I looked out upon the passers-by or listened to their merriment and have said to myself, I would not exchange places with you. He's come a long way, hasn't he? the Lord worked a work in his heart. I would not exchange places with you, for I am saved. I have the treasure of God's love. I have the presence of the Holy Spirit. I have the joys of salvation. I have a mansion in heaven. I knew that most of the passerbys did not have these things, and so I was blessed more than they. What were health and strength when put to a wrong use? What were temporal blessings that ministered only to selfishness? What were the joy and gaiety that ignored God? What were the pleasures of sin when they only laid up a harvest of sorrow? Ah, no, I had no reason to envy them, for my blessings were greater and would not fade away like mist before the sun. My brother, my sister, you may be happy in your own little corner if you will learn the lesson of enjoying what you have. Learn to be content with common things. Learn that the truest joy does not come from external things. It springs spontaneously from a contented heart. If God wills that you be situated as you are, will He not make you happy where you are? You may not have much of this world's goods. You may not have many talents. Your blessings may seem few. But remember my dream message. If you have but one rose, enjoy it to the full. If another has both hands filled, he may enjoy them less than you enjoy your one. I thought that was pretty remarkable. You know, we just take it for granted, oh, they're better off. But we can be enjoying our little one blessing more than maybe they're enjoying all of their put together. He said, sometimes a little perfume is sweeter than an abundance. Do not spend your days in vain longing. Do not despise what you have because it is not greater. Cultivate the habit of thankfulness and appreciation. Be glad for what you have. Be contented. Better your condition if you can. But do not spoil what you have in reaching for more. If you have but one talent, use it for the Lord and be thankful for it. Do not depreciate it because others have several talents. Use it and be content. Happiness consists not in the things we have, but in our appreciation and use of them. So enjoy your one rose. Drink in its sweet perfume. Gaze upon its beauteous colors. Enjoy it to the full. You know, that's a... I really enjoy that lesson, that dream message. I believe it's true. I believe we can enjoy the things that God has given us. And I wanted to encourage us to enjoy our relationship with the Lord. Enjoy prayer. Enjoy, you know, that it's not just a duty that we do to get going on our day. Enjoy the quiet time that we have with the Lord. Enjoy prayer. Enjoy His Word. Enjoy, you know, to me there is really no greater joy than when God speaks to my heart. That is the Scripture. One place said, in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. When the Lord enlightens my mind, when He speaks to my heart and to my soul, that's a rich... You can't compare that. And when we've got that, all these other things taste better. You know, the flavor of life is better when we're putting the Lord first and we've got Him in our lives. So I just want to encourage us to enjoy enjoy our relationship with God. Let him lead us. Not wishing. You know, he mentioned about the gifts. Sometimes we can wish, oh, I wish I was somebody else. I wish they had someone else's. Wish they had other gifts. Wish they... Just enjoy. Have you ever heard the saying? I came across it somewhere, but someone said, they talked about being comfortable in your own skin. First time I ever heard that. But just enjoy who we are. Just enjoy, you know, growing up, I was a little embarrassed, I'll have to say, the family. The family I was in, I'm not saying the whole family, but my immediate family. I was embarrassed. But you know, I've come to a place now that God knew. You know, the scripture said that I believe in Jeremiah, he said something about being separated from our mother's womb. The Lord, I had no control over. I could not pick my parents. But today I'm thankful. They didn't live for the Lord. They didn't follow the ways of God. But I'm thankful for what they did do for me. They did a lot of things that they didn't do for me. But they did do some things for me, and I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the family that I was born into. And I believe God wants us to just accept male and female, who we are, our personalities, our things, being comfortable in our own skin. Just enjoy. Enjoy. The Lord wants us to enjoy who we are. Enjoy how He's made us. Enjoy. You know, we think some of we lack a little hair, or we're not as tall as we'd like to be, or we're not as... Just enjoy what we have on hand. And I thank God today. I want to do that. I want to enjoy my blessings. And I do. My wife wants to sell our little Toyota, and I enjoy that little Toyota. I've got a lot of memories in that thing. My children learned how to drive in it. It's not worth much now. The air conditioner don't work. It's a hot ride. I used to tell my son, I said, son, this has got air. We'd roll down the windows. We've got air. After a while, that got a little old when it got, you know, you get older and it's harder to bear that hot. But I've enjoyed that Toyota. It's got me around. It seems like it keeps running when everything else has quit on me. It just keeps going. It's to look at it. Who'd want it? I don't think. I don't. Might have to not give it away. The seat doesn't work right. You know, you lean way back. If you stay in the seat, you lean way back, and a lot of things don't work. But I thank God for it. I thank the Lord for that little truck. I thank the Lord for our travel trailer. I thank the Lord for my wife. The Lord's been good. He has been so good. And I believe all of us can say that. Yeah, there's been some cross. There's been some hard places. There's been difficult times. And there will be. It's part of the journey. But let's enjoy. Enjoy the Lord. Enjoy what we do have. And I believe God will add to that. Appreciate your attention this morning.